Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up? Welcome in on this Tuesday night. It's the Rubber Report. My name is Michael Warkey. Glad that you guys are with me. So we are talking tonight, and of course we'll read your comments as well, but the SEC released the next 4 years of conference schedules anyway, not dates, but just opponents. And you also already knew this on Monday, but you got the permanent opponents for the next 4 years announced as well. So we will do that tonight, read your comments, and get out of here. I did that interview that I mentioned that everybody got to with Ryan McGee, who did the Lane Kiffin E60, which will air tomorrow. I will bring that to you guys tomorrow, and then we'll do LSU preview on Thursday, and then boom, we are off and running. So glad you guys are here. Welcome in. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rubber Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Leave a comment, hit the notification bell, and all that good stuff as well. Don't forget to subscribe right here also. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You don't have to live in the area to have a great car buying experience, although they are off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven. But Toyota Brookhaven will take care of you like a person. It's an outstanding car buying experience and worth the trip if you're within driving distance. Also, they'll give you $1,000 off on me, $1,000 off on me, if you just tell them simply that it was me that sent you there. Check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven and toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So you guys have seen it already. You already know that Ole Miss's permanent opponents are, for the next 4 years at least, are Mississippi State. That was an obvious one. LSU, that was an obvious one. Those two games fell into a category during these negotiations of protected games. They fell into a category of protected games, so those are not going anywhere regardless of their decision whether or not to reshuffle in 4 years. So those games will be permanent forever. I think it was 16 was the number they came to that were games that had to stay no matter what. And then they get Oklahoma, which was a bit of a surprise to me and a lot of people. But as you guys know, it's probably been explained to you already by now. But if not, they didn't do the separate the conference into two tiers based on the last 10 years. They did the last 4 years. They made it a lot more recent to establish the schedules to create as much balance as humanly possible. And it by winning percentage over the last 4 years, if you look at the schedules, they did a heck of a good job when it comes to balance as much as they can. And you're not going to please everybody. I'm sad that Arkansas is not going to be an annual game personally. But Oklahoma makes sense. And because the schedules are now so balanced, you're still going to play everybody twice in a four-year period. So even though Oklahoma is your permanent and not Arkansas, you're still playing Arkansas twice every 4 years anyway, for example. I know a lot of you wanted Vanderbilt, although I don't know if you want this version of Vanderbilt. But you'll still get them twice every 4 years. So the schedules are quite balanced. But my reaction to that was you already knew what two of the three were going to be. Oklahoma, a little bit of a surprise. But I'll be honest with you guys. The Oklahoma people that I've seen in the Oklahoma media that I interacted with at media days, they loved their trip to the Grove. Like, they absolutely loved it. Like, they're very excited about that being a biannual trip for them. Apparently, the two fan bases got along swimmingly and, like, treated each other well. And like, that was, like, a good bond. Even though, you know, rivalries are supposed to be heated or whatever, it sounds like the Oklahoma people were like, you know, hell yeah, I'd love to go back every other year to the Grove. So you guys put a good impression on the new member of the SEC, apparently, because they were all very excited about that being a permanent member of their schedule for whatever that may be worth to you. So the bigger deal is what the schedule rotation will be over the next 4 years. And now you guys have seen it, so you already know you will have five SEC home games 1 year, four the next, five the next, four the next. You have to make them imbalance that way. So now what Ole Miss has to do, Ole Miss has some scheduling that they have to do to ensure that they get 7 home games. We'll go through that here in a second. Next year, the schedule, or at least the opponents and home or away. Dates have not been announced yet. They will have LSU and Mississippi State at home in 2026. So LSU will have to make another trip to Oxford. Just how it works out, the schedule got reset. It is what it is. Ole Miss will have to go to Norman again. So back-to-back trips to Norman. Interesting how it worked out that way, but that's how it worked out. The rest of the games, Hugh Freeze will be making a trip to Oxford, as will Georgia and Missouri. Road games at Florida, at Vanderbilt, at Texas. I think that it's a massive missed opportunity for the conference and the networks to not have a Manning making a trip to Oxford to play. That's a big missed opportunity. And, you know, maybe he's still around by 2027. I doubt it. Or, excuse me, by 2028, he won't be. So that's it. I mean, I think that just a swing and a miss there that a Manning is not making a trip to Oxford. I don't particularly like that. So that means Ole Miss gets 5 SEC home games next year. That also means Ole Miss will get 6 Power 4 opponents next year, even though it's not officially official. The Pittsburgh game being the season opener gives you the season ticket holder. This is awesome. You get 6 power home games next year because they're doing that dumb road trip to Charlotte. I guess that's the second or third week of the season is when they're doing that stupid thing. The other game being Wofford. So you have a full schedule for Ole Miss next year. You know who it's going to be against 6 power opponents. That's great. Like the value of your season tickets. Now the prices are going up. God bless you for that. But at least you're getting some good value in 26 out of it. 27 is when you're playing everybody else. So it's alternating. So in 2027, you have at LSU, at Mississippi State, Oklahoma at home, of course, Alabama, Kentucky, South Carolina at home, at Arkansas, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M. So the home and home, if you will happen every other year. So they're just flipping the schedule back and forth over the next 4 years. 2027, though, Ole Miss has a problem on their hands. As you just heard, they have 4 conference games at home and 5 on the road. But Ole Miss in 2027 has 2 games scheduled at home, neither of which are a power opponent. Charlotte and Oregon State. Oregon State no longer counts as a power opponent. So for Ole Miss to get 7 home games, they've got to find somebody that qualifies in the power structure that comes to Oxford, unless they do a neutral site, which I think you would hate. You want 7 home games in 2027. So right now, Ole Miss only has 6 scheduled home games in 2027. They will have to add one more, and it has to be a power opponent. You don't want 6 home games. In 2028, of course, it flips back. LSU State at home, Oklahoma on the road, Florida, Vanderbilt, Texas at home, at Auburn, at Georgia, at Missouri. 2028, Ole Miss also has 2 games scheduled, but 5 home SEC games. So that would give them 7 home games, and that would be a good opportunity to make a return trip to whoever you can find on your schedule for 2027. They just haven't done that yet. And in 2029, you know, LSU State, Oklahoma, the permanent opponents, that's at Arkansas at home, Tennessee at home, Texas A&M at home, at Alabama, at Kentucky, at South Carolina. So again, only 4 SEC home games. And in 2029, Ole Miss now has to cancel a game. Because in 2029, they're scheduled to go to South Alabama. Well, you can't have that because you only have 4 SEC home games that year. You need to get to 7 home games. That game needs to be canceled at South Alabama, and they need to add 2 home games, and one of which has to be a power opponent. So Keith Carter has to get on his scheduling horse a little bit. Got to get on a scheduling horse a little bit so that they have to do some adding because, again, Oregon State not grandfathered in. That road trip at South Alabama needs to be moved, or for the betterment of the program, needs to be canceled. That they need to add a power opponent in all three of the next 3 years after 2026. So a lot of work to be done, but I like this new scheduling format. I think it's awesome that you will get to have at least one game every 4 years in every stadium in the league. I'm a big fan of that. If you're looking at these schedules and thinking, oh, wow, they're so tough. They are for literally everybody in the SEC. Nobody got screwed. It just, you are playing everybody at home and on the road twice, at least twice in a four-year period. So is everybody else in the league. There is a very little imbalance in these schedules, and hand-wringing over them is, to me, it's a little bit goofy. I haven't seen many Ole Miss fans doing that. But other fan bases are, and I don't agree with that. They're really balanced if you look at them all. So there you go. We'll read some of your comments, and then we'll get you out of here. After I tell you, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Anything in the office, technology related, absms.com. Tell them I sent you, and they'll give you an assessment completely on me. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need to do is have an internet connection, and you can do everything that you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. First question, is the Ole Miss LSU game sold out? It is not, but there's like a dozen tickets left. And my goodness, the face value on them from the Ole Miss website is insane. It's like $300 face value. But that, I think it's like a dozen, if I counted correctly. There's like 12 tickets left. It will be announced as a sellout. If they don't sell those by Thursday, they'll give them away. But yeah, I think it's literally a dozen tickets are unsold as of this moment. Do you think Ole Miss would be in the top five if they went against LSU? That would be a tough hill to climb, but that they would certainly make a big jump. Bad luck for Oklahoma and John Mateer. Yeah, that really stinks, man. Because as of now, he was the Heisman front runner. Very too early to talk about Heisman, but still, that was the kind of start to the season that he had. Toughed it out, too. I mean, he broke the bone in the first quarter of that game, as it turns out. The way it was reported on was interesting, because some people immediately went to, oh, he'll be back in 3 weeks. And then others went to, well, they just hope that he can be back by the end of October. It's like, well, they play South Carolina on November 1st. And Ole Miss the week before. Red River is 3 weeks away. It's a very significant injury that could have detrimental effects on their season. Good to see your evolution. A to you too. It's hard to project, but I don't think that schedule is overly daunting. They're getting LSU back-to-back years at home, but having to do the opposite with Oklahoma, they are all about the same. Wonder if he'll be back for the Ole Miss game. Oh, you can count on that. You can count on that. Watch Mateer return just in time for the Ole Miss game, but I think I've flipped to Texas beating them now without him. I agree. It is vital for Oklahoma. They don't lose Mateer. He's their entire offense. I agree there too. Too bad Texas doesn't come to Oxford for a long time. Tennessee as well. Yeah, Texas won't come until 2028. And by then, Manning will be gone. And Tennessee won't until 2029. But at least that's only 4 years away as opposed to 14 years. Oh, gosh. Landry Kiffin. Yeah, this is just something that Haydad and I have decided privately. We're just not going to talk about the dating life of college students. Other shows can do it if they want. Especially when like Pat McAfee and Josh Pate and those guys were talking about the other Ole Miss drama from a few months ago. We decided we're not touching that because, one, we're a sports radio show. The life of a late teenage girl should not be something that we discuss anyway. And we're kind of applying the same principle here. I'm just not going to talk about the, even though obviously it's a dynamic that, and they made it public, right? So they put it out there. It's not like it's a secret or rumors or anything, but it's just, I don't think our content needs to be the dating life of a college student. I just don't. It leads to people saying some pretty, you know, it's just not something that we need to do with our platform, in my opinion. Others, you guys can feel free to disagree. I'm just not going to go beyond that. Going off the last 4 years, Ole Miss is a top four team in the league. Yep. Ole Miss will still play Vandy next year. Yeah, and that's an easy road trip for fans. People like Nashville. There's a lot of fans just in Nashville. And Pavia will be gone, although I don't think Vanderbilt, when Pavia leaves, is just going to disappear. So, I just don't think so. Does Dake get screwed getting Texas 3 years in a row? Also, they should be building towards 2027 with that schedule in 27. Yes, absolutely. You got to keep taking steps forward for sure. But, yeah, that's unfortunate having to play Texas 3 years in a row. I mean, that stinks out loud. But if it wasn't Texas, it would have been somebody else. I mean, Ole Miss is having to play Georgia. What, 4 years in a row? Right? Yeah. So, and Georgia's been the class of the league. It's fairly understood now that 9-3 is the new 10-2 when it comes to making the playoff, assuming it expands after this year. Yes. If they go to 16, 9-3 in the SEC will basically be your baseline to get a playoff berth. It won't be 100%, but it'll be pretty standard. I'm glad they fixed this because I hate this stat right here. By the time Tennessee visits Oxford, it will be 15 years since their last visit. Yeah, I'm glad that is over. Finally, Missouri will be returning to Oxford. Those two have needed to play each other the last 5 years with both of their rises. Yeah, it's pretty indicative of how the people in my business operate when Missouri and Ole Miss are still looked at as bottom tier programs. It just shows that you're not paying attention at all. It's like, oh, well, they haven't won the SEC yet. Four teams win the SEC. They're not at the bottom of their league anymore, and talking about them that way is just it's a little goofy, hyperbolic. But yeah, the last time Missouri came to Oxford, it was about 3 degrees during that game. And my date to the game wore a dress. And before the game started, she asked me if we could leave. And I said, you can leave. And we stopped talking after that. Because I wasn't leaving. Are you kidding me? Oh, by the way, Saturday, if we do a post game, it'll be late or recorded. We're actually going to go. We're going to go up there. The Jags have a soccer game on Thursday instead of Saturday, so we're going to get in the car and we're going to go, and mostly go see the band and the fireworks and all that stuff. That's the band walking into the stadium was, other than the fireworks, was his favorite part, just the noise and the drums and all that. But we're gonna do that. So read 2027. I'm sure they'll cancel Charlotte series, opening a potential road game in 27 in exchange for a home game in 28. Yeah, they've got to figure something out. But in 2027, they all have to be at home. That they like you can't. You don't want to have only 6 home games. So they'll all have to be, you'd think they would all have to be at home. Yeah, see, I agree with you. It's definitely a little creepy. Yeah, I think it's creepy that middle-aged men think that they should cover on their shows that part of it. I don't think that's what we need to do. Ticks are getting closer to $200 on resale websites. Oh, yeah, man. What if Ole Miss is just better and beats LSU by 10 points? Nobody's bringing up that possibility. I talk about that possibility. But I know what you mean. I mean, hell, Nick Saban picked Tulane to upset Ole Miss on College Game Day. So this has kind of been a doubted football team this year. There's an opportunity to change that, you know. State fan, but I love the show. Appreciate you, Bailey. Glad that you're here. Hope you listen to the radio show as well, because you get more state content there than you do here, obviously. If Ole Miss faces an Oklahoma team without material, that's a major development. I think that would flip the line completely, yeah. Does LSU remind you a lot of Ole Miss last year? Great defense, pretty good passing game, but absolutely abysmal O-line and running game. I mean, you can very well, and especially the expectations too, right? It's everything. They've spent a lot in the portal. They got really quality defensive players, number one portal class. They're showing up so far. High profile, well-known defensive coordinator. They're flying all over the field. You've got a returning starter at quarterback that put up big numbers the year prior, getting some draft buzz, really bad on the offensive line, really tough running game, expectations to go to the playoff and make some noise. And will the result be the same? Like the new scheduling? I do too. I want to set the over-under on SEC coaches fired or leaving at 2.5. What do you think? Over. I think the over. Do I think Ole Miss is going to host a playoff game this year? I do not. A win over LSU will change my mind on that. It's that simple. If they beat LSU, our conversation will be playoff-based. We haven't talked much playoff right now because it's still early. And, you know, this team has been tested and they've passed them, but the test gets a lot more difficult this week. And Oklahoma's better. And Georgia in Athens is just a bear. I mean, they haven't lost in that stadium since 2019. So depending on what happens Saturday, we'll recalibrate our thinking on that. Lane Kiffin staying to take the over on Twitter is probably going to result in a fine, right? Especially after the comment following the Kentucky ending. I sure hope not. If Greg Sankey levies a fine for that, he's a chump. The banter between LSU and Ole Miss fans online has been pretty good this week. It's been something. It has been something. Got to pressure Nuss. And that's one key to this game, too, is Ole Miss defensively, we'd be looking at them and talking about them differently if they just capitalized on the opportunities that they created for themselves. They have constantly, through four games, put themselves in position to create turnovers and just not executed, dropped interceptions, things like that. They have constantly gotten to the quarterback and been unable to actually take him to the ground. Now, Nussmeier, not a bad athlete. He's not a statue. But Green and Retzloff are more athletic running the football than Nussmeier, so maybe that's part of it. But they're putting themselves in position to make explosive plays defensively. They're just not able to complete them. They've got to do that. If they're going to win Saturday, they've got to turn pressures into sacks, and they've got to, if Nussmeier is going to hit a defensive back in the hands, he has got to catch the football and turn him over. That is something that they are putting themselves in position to do that are failing to execute once they get there. Saul Pate, has Ole Miss beating LSU? I've seen lots of big names predicting the same kind of worries you. Nah, it's completely meaningless what people like them and me, throw me in there, think. LSU will have a loss soon at some point. This could be a flip from last year's game where the better team loses in a tough road environment. LSU, I think they're definitely better defensively. Every schedule looks super difficult. That ninth game makes a huge difference. Absolutely. aren't you a huge fan of Josh Pate? I actually like him a lot. He has sat down with us at Media Days, and not only has he been generous with his time, but thoughtful and willing to give, he didn't go through the motions, truly cared about delivering good content. What I mean by when I say don't listen to guys like him, that includes me as well. We don't know anything. We don't know what we're talking about. I think that some of his opinions are stuck in the pre-portal era, and he hasn't adjusted to this era when he talks about teams and programs and things like that. But personally, I mean, I've had truly awesome interactions with him. I just think that people like me on my much smaller platform and scale than him, just ultimately what we say doesn't matter. And so if he says something, or if Cole Kublik says something, or whoever that you don't like, just turn them off is what I mean by that. It's like fans get worked up when people in those positions say something about their school. And it's like, who is Michael Borky, right? Who am I? I'm a nobody. It does not matter. And that includes even people with national platforms. Who are they? It doesn't matter what they think. What matters are the results that your school has to your satisfaction. That's what matters. What people like us say, just it gets thrown into the void. That's what I mean. What is your thoughts on Kiffin admitting in the documentary that his daughter changed his mind from going to Auburn? That's not the first time he's talked about that publicly. I mean, there were multiple articles, one in OutKick, one in ESPN, one in the LA Times about that very thing that happened. That's not new information at all. We've talked about it on the radio show good bit. I mean, it was family that made him stay. He talked about it in a press conference, actually, where he said he was basically like, and thank God that she convinced me to stay, because that would have been an awful decision. So he's talked about that very publicly before. It was absolutely because of her, ultimately, that made him stay. And now everybody else has moved with him, and so roots are being planted more. But no, that's definitely not new information. So you can see LSU losing in Oxford and still clawing to 10-2. Yeah, especially depending on what Alabama looks like this weekend. Almost wide receiver greater than LSU secondary. Their secondary is quite good. There's a chance that this is the best test for Ole Miss's wide receivers this year. Schedule release begs the question, who and what will be the Power Four out-of-conference opponent next year? Pittsburgh at home. Even parking passes are over $200. That's another thing that I've got to figure out, is where the hell are we going to park? Oh, man. He's almost six, but those little legs can't do the same kind of walking that we can, you know? And I can only have them on my shoulders for so long. I gotta figure out what to do there. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy that gets a media parking pass and then sits in the stands. You know, I hate doing that. So just out of principle, I refuse. So if I'm gonna be of the people, I got to do what the people do. If that makes sense. So picking Ole Miss to win, but I hope that doesn't make the quarterback situation worse, which it probably will. Yeah. If Trinidad plays poorly, then what happens after the bye week is easy. If he plays well and they win, what happens after the bye week is extremely complicated, regardless of how simple Lane put it. McCready says he thinks Beamer leaves for Virginia Tech. Could reset his clock. Things are not progressing at South Carolina, and Virginia Tech could be a safety net. Where do I put my application for the Arkansas coach here? They're looking in low places. If you guys haven't seen Hunter Yurecek's quotes, go look them up and be glad that Keith Carter is your AD. Do I think LSU will fire Brian Kelly if they don't make the playoffs? If they go 9-3 and miss the playoff, no. He's owed a lot of money. I don't think they're down for that. I think he'll see 2026 regardless. If Ole Miss is 6-2 after Oklahoma, do they make the playoff? Yes, I think so. If they were 11-1 going to the SEC championship, could you believe it? Could I believe it? Yes. But I would be very surprised. They still have a lot more to prove. They have to prove more on in run defense in particular. That they have to non-quarterback run the football better. I know everybody's like chest thumping about the offensive line. They played Arkansas in Tulane. This is a totally different challenge. Now, if they look like that again this week, then buddy, the question has been answered and things are taking off, but we weren't measuring the offensive line quality against what they could do to Tulane. It was what they could do this weekend, and they've got a lot to prove this weekend. I think they can. I certainly think they can, but they've got to go prove it. Nothing has been proven yet. D-line needs to have their best game Saturday. I think Pete's going to be pretty aggressive in this game. I would be surprised if they're not. At least the crowd will be on Ole Miss's side. Oh, yeah, it'll be incredible. If LSU puts up a stinker this Saturday, what do I think their record will be? Let's see. I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, although I'm getting close to almost memorizing all these by now. All right, if LSU loses on Saturday, if they put up a stinker, they've got South Carolina at Vanderbilt, A&M at Alabama, Arkansas, Western Kentucky at Oklahoma. 8-4? Very possible. They very well could lose four down the stretch, too. The Ballad of Trinidad Chambliss plays on. This game could be awesome. In fact, three is the last real playing time he gets this year. That would be pretty incredible. That, like, the best three-game stretch in program history. If I'm going to one road game next year, it's at Texas. Yeah, if I go, I'd go to the Comedy Mothership at some point too. Or maybe stay behind and go to a recording of Kill Tony. And then fly out Tuesday morning. Yeah. I think most educated people have moved off the Lane to Florida stuff, except for the clickbait and ESPN talking heads. It feels that way already, yeah. Buy some roller skates for him for the long walk. No. Just shuttle there. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, if they're in the same spots, it just depends on when we can get there. I mean, I'm shooting to leave at like 7:30. Get there a good 4.5 hours before kickoff. Should be able to, you would think, right, to be able to find a shuttle spot if I'm getting there by 9:30 in the morning? Or is that too late already? I don't mind walking. I'd rather walk along than pay $150 to park, you know? So I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. How does a college football playoff actually judge the strength of schedule? That is actually something that they are going to lay out before they expand the playoff. That they're going to nail down a metric that factors in strength of schedule for them. So, thought Saturday was their most complete game under Kiffin since the Georgia game last year, without a doubt. People act like Lacy is Deuce 2.0, and he's not. He's good, but he's not elite. See, the problem in the running game is not Lacy. He's been really good. If you look at all of his runs, he's had to work really hard for the yards that he's gotten. Trinidad has been outstanding in the run game, and that has masked issues when it's not him running the football. But his yards count, too. Ole Miss is using him exactly correctly, and it's really been to their benefit. An immobile quarterback would – this offense might even be struggling some. What separates a program like Ole Miss and a program like South Carolina? Feels like South Carolina has kind of peaked. No, see, the thing is that they're all close to the same. And nobody is really willing to talk about that. Everybody's a coach away from being really good. Like the maturation of Lane's play calling, not going for fourth down all the time. Well, it helps that they have a reliable kicker. I mean, this is what I was arguing with people about on Twitter the last couple of years, really, is why don't you just take the points? You always take the points. That implies that your 3 points are guaranteed. And they did not have quality kickers to the point where you would kick every field goal because it was a guaranteed 3 points. And it's never 100% guaranteed, but now that they have a quality kicker that is extremely dependable, that is more likely to be their outcome because there is not a higher percentage chance of the field goal missing. You can't take the points because a kick has to be made. And they did not have confidence, especially last year, in the ability to make the kicks. Set a new attendance record Saturday. Depending on how they distributed student tickets, yeah. Just finished hitting balls at CCJ. Hey, the field got released today. It's a good one for the Sanderson Farms Championship. I'm excited. Max Homa excites me the most, but Akshay's going to be there. I like Andrew Novak. I've grown to like him a lot. Seeing him in the field is exciting to me. The Hoygaards being in the field is pretty incredible considering the Ryder Cup being this weekend. It's a good field. And, I mean, you've got a lot of guys with Mississippi ties, and, like, it's a good field. I'm excited. You see an advantage getting LSU at home 2 years in a row at a time where they're battling for top recruits. Hey, it won't help the recruits much. But my question, as you say, go park at the Jackson Mall and hop on a shuttle, will that lot not be full by about 9:30? And part of me wonders if that's too early for us to get there because, I mean, that's 5 hours before kickoff. It's 5 hours before kickoff. I don't know. I don't know if getting there that early is smart. Because what are we going to do for 5 hours before kickoff for a 4-hour game, you know? How would you describe an Ole Miss game day to someone who has never been? I've been a lifelong fan, but in my 17 years of life, I've never been to a game. Send me a DM. Well, it depends on where do you live, first of all. Because if you're only 17 and you live in, like, you know, Dallas, I don't know if I can get you there. But send me a DM and we'll get you tickets to a game. It won't be the LSU game, but I'll help make that happen. If you've never been to a game before and you can, I will help you. Meridian, so you can? Okay. Send me a DM. I'll find a way to get you to go to a game. Running game hasn't been gangbusters, but still hasn't felt like it's a detriment to the team. They did run it very well against Kentucky. It's something to keep in mind, yeah. What new rivalry could you see brewing now that everyone faces each other much more often? Ole Miss Auburn's going to turn up the heat. It's already pretty kind of, you know, but leading up to that game next year, if Hugh Freeze can hang on to his job, is going to be pretty intense. I appreciate that. I don't know if I deserve it or not, but I am excited that we're going to get to go do that. Oh, you're not in the band anymore. That was his that was his favorite part. He loves music. My gosh, does he love music? I think I don't know if I told you guys this story or not, but we went to the Saints season opener, and Manny Fresh was the halftime show. And again, this kid loves music. He'll in the car, I'll have to prop my phone up so he makes me put on Rush concerts and AC/DC concerts to watch them. Seriously, not kidding. So he loves music. He loves the concept of concerts and like, but Manny Fresh was the halftime show. And, you know, he had never been to a Saints game before. And he didn't realize that in the NFL, there's always halftime shows and they always bring a stage on the field and stuff. And so they set up the stage and he's like, Dad, I have to watch this. And I really wanted us to go to the bathroom and get food and stuff. So he didn't miss the game, but he wanted to see the concert. And so Manny Fresh is playing all of his hits and, you know, he's aged a little bit, right? But the whole stadium's loving it because he's a New Orleans guy and all that. But James was locked in. He was just watching it. And then when it was over, he looked at me and goes, Dad, that was weird. Like, yeah, buddy, I don't know. I mean, like AC/DC, I get because it's loud drums and guitars and stuff. But I think you're a few years away from appreciating Manny Fresh. So, oh man. Yeah, we'll be around. We'll be around. What are the odds that Ole Miss loses to LSU, Oklahoma, and Georgia? Sadly, it's probably higher than you would like to admit as fans. It's pretty high at the moment. Clay Travis brought up a great point. Nebraska feels like they're in the wrong conference. They feel like an SEC school as far as tradition and fan base goes. Could they ever leave? They don't fit in the SEC either, though. They're kind of in a weird spot. To be honest with you, the Big 12 is perfect for Nebraska. They are a perfect fit in the Big 12 geographically, and otherwise it makes sense. Them being in the SEC doesn't make sense. Them being in the Big 10 has not gone well, but no, and the problem is they can't leave because of the money. Got your pilot's license from Sanderson Farms, Laurel, Mississippi, flying to Oxford. Take me with you. Yeah, we'll definitely walk around the Grove. Tent you go to is on the corner across from Ventress Hall. Be up there for a bachelor party. Heck yeah. Bachelor party for LSU game. That's awesome. Yeah, we'll be around. He will likely be on my shoulders. So if you see us, please. I mean, what's funny is where we're going to go is right in that area too. So I'd like to have seen Ole Miss and Tennessee as permanent opponents, long history before 1991. Yeah, luckily that still will happen twice in 4 years, but the problem is Tennessee's been too good lately. And also with Tennessee and their protected games, they had two of them as well. And so they got a break with their third, somebody in the lower tier, giving Ole Miss their third. I don't know. I don't know how it all works, but would have been heated, Kiffin having to go back there. Maybe not as much as 2021, but it would have been something. So, anyway. All right, guys. I'll post that McGee interview for you tomorrow, and then we'll be live on Thursday. So, I'll see you guys tomorrow and on Thursday. You'll have a great rest of your night, and see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.